In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Paul has made it very clear that everything he's going to write is about one person, Jesus Christ. And that our relationship to this one person, Jesus Christ, is founded on one thing, faithfulness, faith, trust, loyalty, allegiance, all different words that we can use to fill in that the depths of that word. Our relationship to Jesus is all about being faithful. But Paul said that God's anger has been revealed from heaven against us. And his anger is revealed as he gives us over to our own choices. He lets us do what we want. And then he stands back and lets us reap those consequences. And then Paul urged us, in light of that, we need to stop judging the people around us. Stop pointing fingers at those around us. That's too easy. And instead, we need to look at ourselves. Judge ourselves rather than others. Stop being hypocrites who think we know everything and yet do the very evil things that we hate in other people. It's the inside, he said, that really matters, not external things like circumcision. And all of us are born selfish, deceptive liars who only look out for ourselves. But he told us last week that Jesus is the mercy seat. That's the lid of the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. Jesus is that place where God speaks, where God dwells, where God is known, and where forgiveness is had. And through that mercy seat, we then get to the contents of the Ark of the Covenant. God's provision for us, his protection for us, and God's love for us through giving us his will in the Ten Commandments. Paul continues in chapter 4 of Romans. What then can we discover from Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was made righteous from works, he has a boast, but not before the Creator. For what does the scripture in Genesis 15 say? Abraham was faithful to the Creator, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In Genesis 15, we have the Lord coming to Abraham and again promising that God promises Abraham that he will make him a great nation, a father of many nations. And Abraham is struggling to believe this. And God invites Abraham to look up. He says, look at the stars. He says, this is what your family will be. And then it tells us there, Abraham was faithful to the Creator, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Paul continues, to the one who is working, the pay is not given according to generosity, but according to obligation. But to the one who is not working, then being faithful to the one, the Creator, who makes the irreverent righteous, his faithfulness is counted for righteousness. So to the one working, Paul says, to the one working, you're obligated to give them pay. But the one who's not working, if you give them something, it is a free gift of generosity, a free gift of grace. What's Paul getting at here? Well, he's pointing us back to the story of Abraham. Let's remember this story. God had given this promise. Your offspring will be like the stars of the sky. And then the decades went by and nothing was happening. And what did Abraham and Sarah, they put their heads together and what did they think up? A plan. How can we make God's promise real? They put their heads together and they started working and scheming. Hey, Abraham, why don't you take my maidservant Hagar, you have a child with her, and then you can finally have the offspring that God promised. Maybe the problem is we're not working hard enough here, Abraham. Let's put our heads together, start working, get down to it, and let's make the promise happen. And so they worked. And born was Ishmael. And the great tragedy of jealousy and hatred is Hagar and Ishmael end up being thrown out by Abraham and Sarah. But God watches over them in their lowly status. And the Lord says, no, Ishmael is not going to be your offspring. This isn't how it works. and they went back to waiting. And the years continued to go by, and then finally the Lord comes to them when Abraham's almost 100 and Sarah's almost 90, and he comes to them and says, "Now is the time that you will give birth." 25 years after the promise was given, 25 long years of waiting, God says, "Now is the time. You've waited appropriately. You've been patient appropriately. This is my work. This is my blessing for you." And Isaac was conceived. And the child of faith, the child of promise, was born. So what Paul is talking about, the one who's working or not working, he's talking about how we try to control the blessings, the promises of God. This working is a very negative thing because it's trying to take control of the situation. God says, "I want to bless you." And Abraham says, "Fine, I'm going to make it happen." No. When you work in that sort of way, trying to control God and his promises and blessings, you destroy yourself. But when you wait patiently, maybe for 25 years or more, the Lord will fulfill his promise. And it is received through faith. Verse 6, just as even David says in Psalm 32 of the blessed man to whom the Creator counts as righteous apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are released, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin is never counted by the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is something that he gives unilaterally of his own choice. We don't work for it and earn it and deserve it or entitled to it. No, it is his free gift of grace and generosity. So is this blessing, Paul continues, upon the circumcised or the uncircumcised? So remember, he's been talking to the Judeans here in Rome. And they've gotten really arrogant, thinking they're the children of God exclusively. So Paul is saying, well, what about Abraham? He was blessed by God, chosen, promise was given. Is this for the circumcised or uncircumcised? For we say, faithfulness was counted as righteousness for Abraham. What was his state when it was counted as righteousness? In circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. When God gave that promise to Abraham to make his family great, Abraham wasn't circumcised yet. It wasn't circumcision that made Abraham a child of God. It was God's calling into Abraham's life where God said, "I choose you. Come out of Babylon. Come out of civilization. Be my new people." It wasn't circumcision or the law or any of those things that made Abraham have a relationship with God. It was God saying, "I choose you. I love you. I bless you. And I make promises to you. Because I'm generous." Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of faithfulness. So he was then given that sign later to show outwardly that he had been a man who had been inwardly faithful, trusting in God's promise. He received this while he was still uncircumcised, the promise. So he would be the father of all those who are faithful while uncircumcised, so they also might have righteousness counted to them. He is also the father of the circumcised, who are not only circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faithfulness of our father Abraham when he was uncircumcised. So Paul's point is, it doesn't matter whether you're externally circumcised or not, externally have the law or not, externally fit all the things of, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm God's chosen child. It's not the external things that matter, it's the inward state of the heart. Is there faith in your heart that connects you to God and his word and his promises? And notice, Abraham is the father of the circumcised who what? Walk in the footsteps of the faithfulness of our father Abraham. So he said, not working versus working, but do not be confused. Not working does not mean doing nothing. Not working means walking in the footsteps of faith. When God speaks, you obey. When he says go, you go. When he says come, you come. Faithfulness is always doing things, but it's not working to control God in the circumstances. It does what he asks. Verse 13, for the promise to Abraham and his seed that he would inherit the creation. Think of Jesus' own. The meek, the humble will inherit the earth. Was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faithfulness. For if they were inheritors from the law, from working to control and earn and deserve and be entitled, then faithfulness has been irrelevant. And the promise has been eliminated. God's free love has been eliminated if we think we deserve and are entitled to his love. No, he gives it because he is love. For the law works anger. Right? We saw that when we try to control our lives, when Abraham and Sarah tried to control the promise of God, the blessing of God, they created this Hagar-Ishmael nightmare. And the anger of God blew up in the middle of that, not because God is mean, but as they suffered the consequences of their really selfish choices. Hagar was hurt, Ishmael was hurt, Abraham was hurt, Sarah was hurt, and even little Isaac was hurt. Where there is no law, there is no violation. Therefore, they are inheritors because of faithfulness. So that the inheritance comes by generosity. You have been called a child of God, not because you deserve it, not because you're entitled to it and have earned it, but because of God's generosity, who says to you in your baptism, you are my child. This is so that the promise is certain to all of the seed of Abraham. If you think you can earn and deserve and are entitled to God's love, there's great uncertainty in that. You will fail. You will make mistakes. You will be imperfect. And the bedrock of your relationship with God will be shattered because you won't be strong enough. But if your relationship to God is based on faithfulness, not deserving, but simply that God has chosen to love you of his free choice, then you have certainty. It is not you who makes your relationship with God certain. It is God who calls you every day through his word that makes it certain. And not only to the one from the law, the Judeans, but also to the one from the faithfulness of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So all nations. Just as it is written in Genesis 17, I have established you as the father of many ethnic groups. Abraham was faithful to the Creator who brings life from death. It calls into being that which did not exist. Earlier, Paul told us and hammered us over the head saying, we're all selfish, we're all liars, we're all deceptive, we're all a mess. But in your baptism, God comes to you, selfish ego, and says, you're my child. And he calls that into existence out of nothing. He calls a person of love into existence out of selfishness. He makes you into something that you were not before through his word, through his calling. He was faithful. Abraham was faithful in hope. Hope in God's promise. Hope in God, not hoping in circumstance change. Too often our hope is in things going our way. That's the working, the controlling of God. No, stop hoping in things going your way. Put your hope in God, that he will fulfill his promise in his way. So Abraham was faithful in hope when there was no hope, and became the father of many ethnic groups according to what had been spoken in Genesis 15. Your seed will be like this, the stars. Not being weak in faithfulness, Abraham saw clearly that his own body was dead, being about 100 years old, and the womb of Sarah was dead. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 says, when I am weak, I am strong. It was at the end there of Abraham's life that he really became strong. Strong in faith, as he was weak in body, weak in the flesh. As he was broken down in his ego, he had tried the whole Hagar-Ishmael situation, and it all blown up in his face. Abraham was humbled to nothing, and it was there in his weakness of body and flesh that he finally became strong. Strong in faith. Because faith just clings to one who is greater than us. Faith clings to God. Verse 20, Abraham did not hesitate in unfaithfulness of the Creator's promise, but he was strong in faithfulness while he was weak in every other part of himself. When your ego is strong, you will be weak in faith. But when that ego is crushed, beaten down, humbled, and meek, faith will shine in strength. He was strong in faithfulness, giving glory to the Creator. Abraham was fully convinced, his trust, that the Creator was able to do what he promised. His hope, his faith was in God. God must be the object of our faith and our hope. Therefore, it was counted to Abraham as righteousness. This was not written for him only in Genesis 15. It was counted to him. It was also written for us. We who are faithful to the one who resurrected Jesus our Lord from the dead are about to be counted as righteous. Jesus was given over that free love, that generosity of God's own choosing because of our sins, because of our selfishness. But he was resurrected to make us righteous. We are nothing in our selfish egos. And God calls us and makes us something. He speaks into the death of our selfishness and calls us to be children of him, children of love. God wants to bless us. Jesus speaks the blessings in his own great Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, the humble, the pure in heart, the persecuted, the hated. These blessings, we cannot work for them. We can't control when and how these blessings are given. They are given by God's own hand in his own timing. Do we trust that God wants to make us truly rich in our worldly poverty? Do we trust that he wants to make us truly blessed as we are persecuted and hated and lied against? Do we trust that he truly wants to bless us when we look like we're nothing, but to make us great for his own name's sake, through faithfulness alone? Let's not be like Abraham and Sarah, trying to control the blessing and promise of God. No. We only hurt ourselves and people around us when we work in that sort of controlling way. Let's let go and surrender to his promise, his blessing, and his own timing. He wants to make us his children. He wants to grow his church. He wants to do these beautiful things, and he will do them in his own way, in his own timing. So let's stop trying to control it. Let's put it into God's hands. He will come through. Stay attached to him. Put your hope in him. Put your faith in him. He's the only one that will come through. He's the only one that is certain. Amen.